Wow, we're really here. We're really doing it, everybody. We're doing a juggling podcast. Welcome to Nice Catch with Jack Denger. I'm your host, and thanks for tuning in today. You know, I can't believe we're actually doing it. I thought about producing something new, juggling related, for a long time, and this is a completely new format for me. Juggling, the visual medium, and podcast, the audio medium. We're actually doing it, so thanks for tuning in. And, you know, I put out an Instagram poll a couple of weeks ago, kind of to gauge the interest, and it was pretty amazed with what I found. More positive responses than I even expected. Ton of individual questions, ton of people sending their questions and suggestions. A lot of people sent multiple. And from all around the world, too. It's not just American jugglers, not just European jugglers, but all over the place. Whoa! Super cool stuff. I'm excited to share it with you. I'm excited to go on this new little journey with you. And I'm excited to introduce the podcast today and what the concept is and what I'm going for. It's going to be very interesting. I've been juggling for about 20 years now, and my juggling motivation comes in waves. And we'll talk about that too. My motivation comes in waves, and typically these sort of the upswing of my motivation comes in the form of, I take on sort of a production mindset instead of a consumption mindset. Okay, so what does that mean? Consumption mindset. You are scrolling on Instagram, you are watching other people's videos, you are listening to other people's ideas. Production mindset, you're posting your own tricks, right? You're posting your own videos, you're recording your own podcast, stuff like that. And in the past, you know, if my motivation's sort of ticking up like this, it would have been me posting more videos of me doing juggling tricks, something like that. Last time I did that was about 4 years ago, and I decided, okay, let's just record all of the hardest tricks you can possibly do and put them in one video. And I did. It took me all year, and I liked the result. But I want to do something different this time. I want to do something a little bit different because you have to change things up if you want to stay in the game. That's just how it works. So I'm doing a podcast this time, people, and I don't know what it's gonna look like. It's gonna be something, man. It's gonna be something. So why am I doing this, right? I could be doing a bunch of other things with my time. I've got a job. I've got a desk job. I could be practicing juggling, I could be reading a book, exercising, you name it. You know, I've got all of these other interests, but really what this comes down to for me, and there are a lot of reasons, but the main one is I want to motivate and I want to help other jugglers. I have sort of this renewed enthusiasm for juggling in myself, and I want to dish that out to everybody, honestly, at this time, because, like I said, if I don't find new ways to motivate myself, I lose the interest and it becomes kind of dead weight in my life. I go to practice and I have no reason to juggle. I'm like, what am I even doing here, man? What's the point of this? And I found one of the most gratifying things for me is when people reach out with questions, things they need help with, and I'm able to help other jugglers that are enthusiastic about the activity. So I'm going to try to use this podcast partially as a platform to do that. And, you know, on that subject, you might even ask, well, what even qualifies me to host a podcast, right? Because, you know, something I've realized is that my expertise, the scope of my expertise, even within juggling itself, is so niche. What I mean by that is if somebody came to me asking for advice on how to train a specific technique, which I did get a lot of those questions, by the way. If somebody came to me with a question like that, I'd be able to help them out. I'd have some pointers for them and tips and tricks. But what about performance advice? What about creating a new juggling trick? What about God, I mean, there could be so many other things that I am not the best person to talk to about. So in some ways, I don't know that I'm the most qualified person to host a podcast, but what I think I want to do with this podcast is explore all of these different areas of juggling thought. There's so much to contemplate. I've spent a lot of time on just the physical juggling and the development of perfect technique, you could say, and body position and all of that technical stuff. So now I want to open my mind more to these other areas. How do you create an act? How do you create aesthetically appealing juggling? How do you incorporate dance and other thematic material? How do you draw upon other disciplines to enhance your juggling? What's the future of juggling look like? Where is it going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? You could go in so many different directions with this, and that's what we're going to do, because I have the knowledge and the ability to contemplate it, but I've never given myself the space to do it, right? I mean, I've gone years just going to the gym to practice and working on the same old tricks and trying to run every pattern for a little bit longer, but increasingly that's not enough for me anymore. So that's another reason we're doing this. I want to become more curious about all the different things that juggling can be, because my area of specialization is becoming less interesting to me. I want to find ways to answer the bigger questions, like why do we juggle? Why is juggling an enduring activity or performance art or skill, whatever you want to call it? What makes it effective to lay people, to non-jugglers, to non-juggling audience members? Why is it included in the circus? What gives it its staying power? And a lot of these are topics that I maybe would have liked to hear more on as a developing juggler myself. One of my favorite parts about the juggling community is seeing jugglers that are earlier on in their sort of juggling journey and watching them progress. It's an amazing thing. I mean, I started juggling when I was 7, and I found the internet pretty soon after that. Actually, I was on rec juggling as a 9-year-old. Can you believe that? I was on juggling forums as a 9-year-old posting, you know, how do I do my 5-ball cascade and stuff like that. I'm not talking about 9-year-olds, but you know, I see younger folks on Instagram, up and coming, practicing, and it's inspiring to me because I like seeing people that are pumped up about juggling and improving. Super cool thing. And when I was, you know, when I was maybe 13, 14, it would have been cool to have some people talking about some of the topics that I'm going to try to cover. So, you know, hopefully this podcast will give more form to my own thoughts on some of these topics and maybe challenge some of my own beliefs about what juggling is, about what juggling means to me, and the values that I place on it as a practitioner from my sort of limited perspective, right, as just this technical juggler focused on the, you know, the physical aspect of juggling, the technical aspect of juggling, right? So it's going to be an interesting project. And then finally, you know, beyond sort of helping other people and opening up conversations for other jugglers, there's something in it for me. I have to confess, there's something in it for me. Here's what it is. I'm getting ready to take up some new opportunities myself that I have not taken up before with my juggling. So, you know, I spend a few hours a week training. Juggling is not my job, which gives me an interesting perspective on this, I suppose. But it's not my job. It's not my whole life. But it's sort of a passion project I have going on the side of everything. And this next year, 2025, I want to challenge myself to take it to the next level for me. And for me, the next level doesn't mean more catches of 7 clubs. It doesn't mean new craziest trick or whatever. I want to expand myself in sort of a new direction. So I'm taking up some new performance opportunities, and I wanted to challenge myself to create a new act, take a completely new approach. to creating an act. And we'll talk about that in a future episode. In fact, I'll probably dedicate a few episodes to creating an act because I'm going through a completely new process to do it. And I think it could be helpful to other people. And, you know, partially it's a way to document and contemplate my own process. Maybe give you some themes to draw upon for your own creative choices. And it's making me think through my creative choices, even just putting all my thoughts in one place about how to create an act. And I don't know if I can even talk about what those performance opportunities are yet. But you know the amazing thing, people, is that once you open yourself up to opportunities, they will come knocking at your door more than you even expect. It's been amazing. I kind of just decided for myself, we're gonna take this thing to the next level next year. We're gonna do some performing. We're gonna create something new, and boom, all of a sudden, more opportunities start coming up for performances, for workshops. Man, we're gonna have plenty to talk about here. I don't know how many episodes this podcast is even going to be. Maybe it'll be 5, maybe it'll be 10, maybe it'll be 20. You know, I have no idea, but we have no shortage of things to discuss, individual topics, and it's going to be more than just me. I am excited to bring some other jugglers on the show to talk about some of this stuff and to ask deeper questions about the juggling. You know, not just when did you learn to juggle, how did you learn, what's your favorite trick, and that stuff. We're going to go a little bit deeper. So I'm going to bring some other jugglers on. We'll do book reviews. I've got 2 or 3 books that I want to talk about, some related to juggling, some not related to juggling. Plenty of material, folks. It's going to be great. Finally, last thing I'd say is, you know, there's some utility in this for me, for my career, in organizing my thoughts and practicing speaking. I work at a financial advisory firm, and you know, long term, I want to be meeting with clients. I want to be meeting with clients and walking them through their financial situations, asking meaningful questions, and developing relationships. And all of this happens verbally. So I think the podcast is kind of an interesting medium to practice my speaking skills and to practice organizing my thoughts and presenting them in an impactful way. So that's kind of a, you know, that's kind of a side point for me, but you know, it's never a bad time to keep developing skills like these. Interesting stuff. In any case, that's a little bit of why I'm doing a podcast. It's completely new for me. I can't believe I'm just sitting here talking into a microphone. So weird. So weird. But anyway, I've got a couple other things I want to talk about on this podcast today. I've got my Celsius here. Celsius, if you're listening, please sponsor. I'm going to have a little more of a drink of Celsius here, and I'll be right back to talk about something else. Thank you. We are back. Okay, so today is Saturday, and two nights from now, I've got a pretty interesting gig coming up, pretty interesting performance. It's a venue that I've seen other jugglers perform in the past, but I've never heard any jugglers really talk about what it's like to do it. So I thought I'd dedicate a segment to discussing it here, and that is the halftime show, the basketball halftime show. Okay, so I'm from Indiana in the Midwest, and basketball is a pretty big deal here. So how did I get the gig? First of all, sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time. I periodically will practice at a local university at the gym there, and the person in charge of hiring halftime show talent for the athletic teams walked past and said, "Hey, that's pretty sweet. Do you ever perform that?" And yeah, sometimes I do. And he said, "Cool. Would you be interested in doing a halftime show for the women's team here in a few weeks?" Not knowing what I was getting myself into, I said, "Sure." You know, and I thought, "Okay, I'll just go out there, do some juggling. It'll be fine." And I did. It went okay. There were probably a couple hundred people there, a few hundred people. So not a huge audience, but it was something I hadn't done before. It was kind of cool, and I thought, yeah, that went all right. Maybe I'll do one of the bigger games, one of the men's games, because, like I said, basketball, people love it here, big deal. So a few months ago, heard back, and they asked me back for two games, actually. And the first one's on Monday night, 2 days from now. So wanted to talk through what the preparation is looking like, the physical and the mental preparation. So, okay, the juggling. Let's start with the juggling itself. It's an interesting venue for juggling, right? Because you've got a whole basketball court, you've got a ton of space, and there are people all around you and all the way up to the nosebleed seats, right to the top of the stadium. I'm expecting, I don't know, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 people on Monday night. It's going to be a lot of people. So in terms of the juggling itself, my goal is kind of to give them a juggling multivitamin or a charcuterie board, maybe. All of the different things you can kind of do with juggling, try to show them all in a short time span, right? 4 or 5 minutes. And what all the different things you can do with juggling, you know, what does that mean? On a very basic level, you show them, I can juggle behind my back, I can juggle over my head with my arms crossed in a circle. Here are rings, look what these can do. Here are clubs, look what these can do. I can balance them, I can bounce the ball on my head and juggle at the same time. Look at all these different things that I can do. I'm the man, clap for me, right? And, you know, in terms of the difficulty of the juggling itself, that's not that hard for me, just the individual tricks, but the difficulty is that they're all different skills that you are stringing together very, very quickly. So, okay, there's the juggling part. A couple other things I've been doing to prepare. It's going to be at night. It'll probably be 7 or 8 in the evening. I don't really remember what time. It's going to be a little later though, and usually I practice early afternoon or late morning, something like that. So I've been practicing after work. I get off work at 5 o'clock, I drive a half an hour to my practice space, and then I warm up exactly like I'm going to warm up on Monday night, go through the tricks real quick, and then, okay, I'm ready to go. Run my show, run my 4 minutes of juggling, and that's it. So you have to sort of simulate what the conditions of the performance are going to be if you want to set yourself up for success for it. And practicing in the evening after you've been working all day, that's a part of it for me. And then the next part is the cardio, actually. So, you know, when I go to practice, I spend a lot of my energy sort of trying to regulate my heart rate, keep it down. But, man, you get up there in front of thousands of people and the adrenaline kicks in, your heart rate goes up, and that's a very different condition to operate under physically, especially when you're dealing with sort of precise movements, you know, that the juggling requires. So I've been riding the stationary bike a little bit more lately to get used to just having that elevated heart rate and just getting used to that. Minor thing. But really, you know, the biggest part of the performance itself is not the juggling, it's the performing aspect. It's performing for that many people. And it's an interesting venue, like I said. So you've got a whole basketball court, people all the way up to the nosebleeds, and you know, there are going to be way more people there this time. So there are some things that are going to need to change from when I did this gig last in February. So some things I caught myself doing before that are going to need to change. First of all, staying in one place on the court for the most part, not taking up a ton of space. You've got this whole basketball court. You can run to this corner, to that corner. There are people behind you. There are people to your left and to your right. They all need a show too. So turn around, you know, juggle and walk or run, you know, 10 feet to either side and perform for everybody. Project all the way up to the top row with sort of your gestures, your bows, all of that type of stuff. And you know, juggling and running around, by the way, is its own skill. It's actually its own skill. I have spent all of my time juggling and training to stand perfectly still and to make perfect throws and to not move around at all. But it's actually good for a performance like this to be able to move around a lot. So are you practicing that? Yes. Yes, I am practicing that, actually. That's one of these, again, one of these new things that I'm trying to do just for this gig. But it's a little bit different. And the next thing that I want to do a little bit better this time is basically make huge gestures with my body. And okay, what does that mean? It means, you know, when you're done juggling, when you nail the trick and you acknowledge the audience and you ask for applause, you've got to take up a ton of space and you've got to make eye contact with the guy in the top row and the person 5 rows up and the person 10 rows up and the person, you know, behind you too. Like you've got to perform for everybody. And I don't know if I'm sure a lot of people have seen, there's a good video of Anthony Gatto performing when he's in Cirque du Soleil. And he's very, very animated during that performance. And aside from, you know, he takes up the whole stage, right? He's running around and doing all this stuff. But whenever he is done juggling and asks for applause, he is like taking up so much space with his body, these huge facial expressions and movements and nods to the audience, right? All these different things. Go look it up if you don't know what I'm talking about. Good video. That's the type of stuff that we're trying to do for a show like this. And you know, that's not really who I am as a person. I'm not like a seasoned performer. I'm sure there are some people listening to this that performed a lot more than I have. But you know, even if that's not who you are as a person, it's kind of like, who cares? Like, you're performing for 8,000 people. You've got to act that way. Especially if you want to communicate to everybody that's watching, to even people that are very far away. I'm going to try to throw in a lot of high throws too. I know that sounds kind of like a juggler's cliche too, but hey, you throw some stuff in there that people like. And then a couple of things I'm going to do for myself too. I have other tricks that I'm working on that are probably too hard to do in a halftime show, but you know, you have to take, at least I believe you have to take every opportunity to work on performing some hard stuff if you're planning on performing it at some point, and some tricks, some moves that feel ready. I might throw those in there. So, you know, maybe after the performance, I'll get a video and I'll post it online and you can see for yourself. You can see some of the stuff that I'm talking about, and maybe I'll even grade it. Maybe I'll come back on the podcast and grade myself again and see how I did at some of this stuff. It's going to be an interesting gig. And you know, to do all of this stuff, it means that you're juggling and your mindset, really your mindset, it has to be way beyond just hitting the tricks and just not dropping. It's not about getting by without not dropping anymore. The juggling is really secondary, and I'm more focused on being an enormous personality in front of that many people. And so that's what I'm preparing myself to do mentally and physically. Should be a lot of fun. And it's cool that I got asked back to do it, honestly, because this is a big basketball school. The game might be televised. It might be televised locally or maybe even regionally or nationally. And you see the other people that come through and do the halftime shows for these things. And these are top acts. What is it? Red Panda or Red Dragon? Red Panda. It's the woman on the unicycle, right? It's the Chinese woman on the unicycle, and she flicks the bulls. It's very onto her head and balances in there. Very impressive stuff. But that's my competition, and I'm just some dude, you know, that juggles a lot. I don't really have a professional presence as a juggler, but it's cool to perform kind of on this level. So we will see how it goes. Well, enough of that. I think I'm going to go have another, I'm going to have a lychee berry. Have you ever tried a lychee berry? They're these Vietnamese berries. They taste delicious. I'll be right back. I want to take one segment out of every podcast to answer a listener question. So a couple of weeks ago, I kind of put the feelers out on Instagram for interest in the podcast and asked for some suggestions for topics, things that people want to hear a discussion on. And I got a ton of responses. I think for me, it's a ton. I mean, I think 40 people sent in questions, and most people sent in multiple questions, multiple topics. So thank you to everybody who did that. And I got a good one that is kind of applicable to where I'm at or where I've been this year. And that's how to come back to juggling after a long break. I feel like a good person to answer this question, actually. So let me take you back to 2015, about 10 years ago. This was about 10 years ago. I had been juggling pretty seriously for actually about 10 years up to that point. And I was burned out, man. I was kind of done. I thought, okay, you know, I won some competitions. I did some things I never thought I'd be able to do. I was going to college. And I thought, okay, we're good. I'm good. I'm done. I'll take a little break now. And for probably 2.5 years, I did not juggle for more than 30 minutes a month, just for fun, you know, usually showing off for my friends or something like that. and had to get back into it after I graduated college, because I just got excited about it again and wanted to start trying new things and start improving again. So I've been there, coming back after a long break. And then, even more recently than that, in the past few years, I spent a couple of years working a job where I didn't have the energy for juggling outside of work, and had to get back into it again, especially after, you know, kind of launching my own personal initiatives again, which, like I said, we'll talk about those in some shows coming up. So this is a question I've asked myself a lot, right? How do we get back into this juggling business after taking a ton of time off? Because any juggler knows the feeling, right? You haven't picked up the props in a few weeks, a couple months, and you go, ah, this feels horrible. How do you get back into it? It's first, set yourself mentally on a longer timeline, right? You're not, especially if you're working on high level juggling, you're not going to get it back in a week. You're probably not going to get it back in a month. And all of this is going to be subject to how much time you have to train anyway, right? So if you're in my boat, I practice generally twice a week, and it's usually on my weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, maybe once during the week. So call it two to three times a week. But in any case, you'll find your own schedule with it. So, you know, the first step that I would sort of advise is, if you're trying to get back into juggling, you start with getting yourself to juggle at all. I would attribute maybe one third of my personal progress in this past year simply to juggling more often. Even if it's for 15 minutes, a half an hour, try to hit it 2, 3, 4 times a week. If you're juggling 4 times a week, that's a pretty solid practice regimen for someone who's actively looking to improve. So if you can do that, I think you're doing pretty well. So start with just doing a little bit. And don't feel like you need to go back to full-length practices either, because trust me, I've tried that, and if you're just coming back to juggling after a long break, that is a recipe for frustration and disaster, which you do not want. You want to come back and be excited about juggling. And if you ease yourself back into it, leave yourself, you know, hopefully wanting more, just with these short practices, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, squeeze it in here and there, just kind of get it back in your body, back in your mind again, you're going to want to juggle more. And that's what you want. Second thing I'd say is get back to the basics. Coming back to juggling after longer breaks, for me, I wanted my juggling to feel physically comfortable again. I wanted it to feel comfortable. So what I did, especially this year, was I spent some weeks, four or six weeks, something like that, working on what to me were the basics. And that's going to look a little bit different for everybody. But what I mean, generally speaking, is to train basic patterns and work on making good throws, making perfect throws again. Up your endurance and the amount of catches you can go with your five ball cascade, let's say, without making any adjustments. How long can you go in a basic pattern without making any adjustments? And what that does is that builds up a feeling of efficiency in your body, right? Where you're reaching and walking around less and less over time, over the course of weeks. You know, the pattern is rebuilding sort of that perfect shape again. And you're not expending a lot of energy to do it. In fact, over the course of weeks coming back, you're using less energy to do it. And that's when the juggling really starts to feel comfortable again. And once the juggling starts to feel comfortable again, whew, that's a good feeling. For me, that's a good feeling, because that means, you know, if I'm juggling my five balls, right, and it's feeling perfectly comfortable, that means I feel prepared to go into any trick, any skill that I want. And you're not focused on just surviving and just staying afloat anymore. I spent a lot of time this summer just working on seven balls, just seven ball cascade, because that's kind of the level that I'm at, and also five club cascade. It was both of those. because they just didn't feel comfortable enough when I was going to practice to where I could easily work on all the tricks that I wanted to. And I have to say, okay, man, slow down. You can't go for the crazy stuff right now. Take a chill pill and just work on your five club cascade. No adjustments, you know, because that's when I get really frustrated, is when every throw you're feeling like you're adjusting something. You just want that solid, steady base pattern. So I've been living this. This summer and the past few months, and it's worked. I'm proud to report that I'm about back to where I kind of want to be. Still got a lot of work to do, but in any case, you know, the next thing I'd say is, you know, after you've got those basics down again, whatever those basics are for you, you can start spending a little bit more time on what you consider the skills you really need to start building your juggling back up again outside of just those basic patterns, and take them in their very simplest forms. So, you know, for me, my club juggling has been feeling, well, it's been feeling better lately, but when I sort of got back into practicing more earlier this year, it was very uncomfortable. And so what I did was spent a lot of time on just spin control, just on getting the feeling in my arms, in my hands, in my body of single spins, double spins, triple spins, all different heights, all different tempos. Again, and you know, sort of deconstruct your juggling like that. The parts of your juggling that are important to you, maybe it's body throws, maybe it's starting with simple patterns, simple side swaps, whatever it is, and just build it back gradually that way. See, all of this advice really points to taking it easy and being patient. And believe me, I'm the biggest culprit of being impatient, but this year has forced me to really be patient and let the juggling come back over time. Focus on those basics. Focus on building your technique again from the ground up. And see, that's really one of the benefits of coming back to juggling, is there you have that opportunity to zero base the whole thing. You have that opportunity to start over a little bit and set some good habits, put some good habits in place, maybe fix some things that you didn't want to fix before, or that would have felt too difficult to fix before. You can start slow and build it back up. So if you're in this position and you're thinking, man, I want to come back and start doing more juggling again, I want to get back into it, consider all of this and let me know. Let me know how it works. Just give yourself some time, ease back into it, build it up, and keep working on the basics again. Take that opportunity to work on the basics. It'll make your juggling feel better again, and that, above all else, will be pretty motivating for you to continue. Well, that does it for everything I've got for you for today. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. If you liked today's podcast, please do subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on and share it with your fellow jugglers. Spread it around the community. It'd be great to sort of build this thing up. And if you enjoyed today's show, do reach out and let me know directly. That positive feedback means a lot as we're moving forward. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you back here next time. Thank you.